Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Alrighty, hour number two on this Friday around the country was good. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network as well on the simulcast, and Tiki and I come to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. So coming up this hour, we'll get into the seemingly wide-open NBA. That's coming up next segment here. If you think about, I know it's a little different if AD's fully healthy and right, but with that calf, and we saw what happened to Kevin Durant when he came back early, the calf's connected to the Achilles and blah, blah, blah. You have to be very smart about that. So when they say he's going to be reevaluated, he's at least 4 weeks away, the hope that Anthony Davis comes back, well, everybody hopes he comes back, but I don't know how realistic that is. And if he does come back within the 4 week or slightly thereafter, is he diminished? Is he timid? I mean, does he get hurt again, God forbid? So I say all this because the Lakers were, most of us kind of pushed the Lakers through. If they're right, then we'll push them through. But with Philly popping, I guess the Bucks are still the threat. Not for me as much, but for some with Giannis. If you look at the Utah Jazz, I take what I said yesterday. People might not like watching the Utah Jazz, but people better get used to watching the Utah Jazz, because the Utah Jazz is going to be on our TV deep into the summer.
Yeah, they're going to be not playing. Going away. They're going to be playing for. They just don't lose, man.
No, they don't.
It's uncanny. What is it? 11 now?
They are 20. I believe they're 26-5.
No, I mean in a row. I mean, what's the streak?
Well, I don't even know what it is. They beat the Lakers by 25 the other night. On that would have been Wednesday night, and Clarkson was just draining triples early, and Mitchell didn't even have a huge game, and they still waxed him by almost 30. So they have a lot of weapons, well coached. We'll do that coming up next segment, obviously. Kyrie doubles down on his Instagram post. He was obviously asked about this after the Nets win last night. And he was not shying away at all. So, Tiki and I will get into that a little bit. All right. We said this with the NFL. We used the term minor miracle, and I think it kind of applies here as well. Like, it was a minor miracle that we got through the NFL season without I know some teams, the Steelers had a bit of a rough road. They got screwed a bit. But for the most part, without any incidents or any real pronounced stoppages, and we played the Super Bowl. They had the extra week in case they needed it. Didn't utilize it, which was amazing. Hats off and props to everybody involved for their diligence. And here we are now, Teak, with college hoops, which started a couple of weeks later than usual. The preseason tournaments, like the Maui, things were great tournaments, kind of shifted around. Then out-of-conference play was scaled down. And, depending upon, Villanova got shut down multiple times. A lot of teams got shut down. But we are knocking on the door of conference tournament time, which means we're knocking on the door of Selection Sunday. And you know what? As much as we've said, as many times as we've said about the NCAA not necessarily having a good plan, forget about plan B, a plan A.
Yeah.
Their plan B, in the event of something going wrong with COVID, I think is actually really good.
I think it's the only thing that they can do, because they have to have this tournament, and it has to be full of all 68 teams. And the Division I basketball committee put out the contingency plans should a program after Selection Sunday and before the start of the tournament should come down with COVID and they have to suspend operations and therefore be eliminated from the tournament. They came out with the contingencies, and it makes so much sense, right? The first four teams out are basically on standby. Mm-hmm. You got to be on standby just in case if one team in a multi-conference, because obviously if it's just a one-bid conference that gets in, a one-bid team gets in, then the conference will replace that team. So every conference is represented. That's the reason that they
Correct.
Do that. But if a conference has multiple bids in the NCAA tournament and one gets out, it's those first four out that will automatically be injected in. And it makes so much sense, BT, because they have to have this thing. $933, I think, million dollars, almost $1 billion is what they generally make from this NCAA tournament, from sponsorships and, you know, ticket sales and everything else and television ads, etc. That was all gone last year. They made nothing off the NCAA tournament. So it has to happen this year, and it has to be a full tournament with all 68 teams and games, and so the media and everyone gets everything that they want. The challenge is, there's only one, like, challenge to this, BT.
I think I know where you're going.
Right?
Go ahead.
Is that those last four out teams that are now like, oh, man, we missed it. What are we going to do? We're going to go to the NIT, and we're going to be the top seeds in the NIT.
Yep.
They're kind of in, like, no man's land.
Yes, that's where I thought you were going.
Right? Because if they
– How motivated are they?
Yeah, exactly.
I hear you.
Because they're first out, and so obviously they're disappointed.
Yep.
But, you know, usually if you're first out, all right, we're going to go crush and win the NIT. But now you're first out, and you're kind of like, all right, somebody going to get COVID? Is a team going to, you know, what, like, you're almost wishing for a team to come under, you know, COVID protocols and not be able to make it. But that's just like, it's just negative thinking to do that. And so there's an odd, like, little limbo that those first four out teams are going to be stuck in. And then, by the way, if they do have to get you know, put into the NCAA tournament, they're basically going to have to change their plans in a day or two, right? It's just kind of crazy.
I'm not worried about the logistics. Yeah, I mean, listen, the NCAA provides the charters. I'm not even worried about the logistical aspect of that. That'll be, you know, taken care of very quickly, not worried. But the mindset, that's an important aspect there. Remember, I think, I could be off on this, Samter maybe, or D-Cell check, if you can. I think it was the first year where if you won your conference regular season title but did not win the conference tournament and the smaller and therefore didn't get the automatic berth, that if you won the regular season, you were then you went right to the NIT.
Yes.
And I believe that's the first year. That's when Robert Morris hosted and beat Kentucky. If you remember.
Yes, I do remember that.
And, you know,
I think that was a scenario. You're right.
Right? So you can just insert, like, well, why did Kentucky lose to Robert Morris? And not to take anything away from Robert Morris, the Colonials played their hearts out.
Yep.
But because Kentucky didn't feel like being there.
Yeah.
I mean, because they just weren't. That's just the way it goes. So, yes. Do you run the risk of getting a disinterested team or a team that's slightly out of shape or a team that's got different agendas? Yeah, but you know what? The NCAA, they don't care, and they don't need to care. They just need a game to go on to get on to the next round.
Yeah, and it almost
– It doesn't have to look good.
No.
Just play the game.
Or fair, because that's the other thing that you think about, is the fairness of these teams as they now go forward should one team get replaced. And here's the scenario. Samter brought up a good one. What happens if a 2 seed or a 3 seed or, God forbid, a 1 seed gets – pushed out of the tournament because of the coronavirus.
Gotcha.
Now, all of a sudden, they're playing like a 15, 16 seed.
Yeah.
And this is the 69th, maybe, you know, 69th team.
Yeah. 69 through 72, yep, theoretically. Yeah. Yep.
69 through 72. Yep. They're now all of a sudden playing a 16 seed as opposed to where they would usually be the other way around. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Well, it could also work the other way.
Of course,
the 16 team. What if the 16-seeded team comes down with it?
Yeah.
And instead of getting the 1-16 matchup, you get, in essence, what equates to a 7-10 matchup.
Yeah, that's right.
You get the first four out.
That's right.
So instead of getting a hanger where you're probably favored by 25 or 30 points, you're playing a team that just missed the tournament, in all probability from a major conference.
Yep.
That's got some quad ones and definitely quad two wins on the resume.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, what if it's Duke? Like, what if Duke is one of the first four out? Duke is on the bubble. You know what I mean?
It could be.
They helped themselves by beating Virginia, as we talked about the other day. And ever since Jalen Johnson stepped out of the league, they haven't lost. Right?
I know.
I think they're
5-0 or 6-0?
I think it's 5-0 at this point after Jalen Johnson opted out. And maybe, you know, we killed Boeheim.
Well, he looks prophetic now.
He really does. Talking about another team's player who he hadn't even seen played, right? He didn't even watch him play.
Yeah.
He basically was listening to what Coach K told him.
Exactly.
But it proved to be true. Coach K wasn't lying to Boeheim when he told him, we're better without this
here, game. How is this, though, for a scenario? Can you imagine if a COVID replacement team wins the championship?
Yeah, that would be crazy. I mean, the likelihood of that happening is so small because we know what happens.
I disagree. Right? Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
Because, first of all, this year is who the hell knows what's going to happen. So, I mean, I'm not going to put anything past any program at all because of the craziness of the year. But if you are among the first four out and you are called upon to replace whomever, and you go to a situation where you are, say, in the part of the bracket where you would, if you were a replacement team, would, if you win, you would match the next round, so the field of 32, you would match a 1 seed or a 2 seed, right?
Yeah.
But or even a 3 seed. But what if 1, 2, or 3 seed comes down with COVID? Now you're playing another replacement team for the chance to get to the Sweet 16, and the 1, 2, or 3 seed's gone from the bracket.
Yeah, that's a good
so,
point.
I mean, it's not completely nuts to say
that, I hear you,
that a replacement team could at least get to the Final Four. And, like, I know we're really pushing this forward, and hopefully this doesn't come to fruition at all, but how we always talk about...
Yeah, you but know, you're forced to think of scenarios. Like, when you get a contingency plan like this, you just naturally think of scenarios. What does this actually mean?
I think you have to. Yeah,
absolutely.
Otherwise, we're not doing our job. None of us know how this is going to shake out. We're just you know, conjuring up a conversation. But we had the conversation about the NBA bubble. Would it be a legit NBA title if you win in the NBA bubble with no fans and no travel? We had that discussion.
That's right.
What if you win the NCAA tournament? You're cutting down nets. You weren't even there on Selection Sunday, part of the first 65 in. I mean, you're still the NCAA champion. Will they be embraced the way they should be?
Yeah.
Or should they be embraced the way they should be?
I'm trying to think.
You know what I mean?
We did this the other day, right?
I don't know.
The last time, maybe it was a year ago, the last time a non-blue blood won.
Won the championship?
Yeah, it's been a long time, and I'm putting
got to the championship game or won?
No, won, like actually won it, because obviously it was Virginia and Villanova, UNC.
Yeah,
just go back to the list: UConn, Louisville,
Michigan State won with Izzo. He's won. He's got one on there.
Let's see, Florida had the two in a row.
Florida had two with Billy D. Joakim Noah was on that team.
Maryland was 2002. That's probably
Juan Dixon's team.
Yep,
that's a good team.
Yep, that's probably the last one you see where you're like, okay, they're not usually there.
Yeah, well, they were though in the 80s. Remember sure, they had some Len Bias.
Point.
I mean,
that's a good point. You gotta go way back.
Who is it? I can't even think. And I'm usually muddy with this stuff. The last non-traditional power to win the NCAA championship in basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, but this is, I don't even...
Sam just gave it.
Let me see if I can work myself there.
Yeah.
This is going to sound odd now, but at the time that it occurred, when Villanova beat Georgetown, I mean, they were in the Big East, so they were a power, but they barely got in.
That's true.
And they hadn't won again, this is before Jay Wright's 2 championships, so it feels different now. Let me see. Was it the 70? Oh, UCLA was... Let's see.
You're not
UConn, because UConn's got 3 of them with Coach Calhoun.
You're going to bang your head on...
I'm going to get pissed at this, your
hand against your head when you hear this.
Can I object, though, to whether or not your determination as to whether or not it's a blue blood
could differ from
mine? This is an obvious non-power?
This is an obvious non-power. And the only reason... I mean,
Gonzaga never won.
They had a stud big man. His name was Corliss Williamson.
Oh, Arkansas.
Yeah,
1994. No, but Arkansas. No, that's wrong. Don't feed me that nonsense on this show.
But when was Arkansas?
Are you 40 Minutes of Hell, Corliss Williamson, Scotty Thurman? Are you guys crazy?
No. I'm talking about the team. I'm not talking about the specific squad.
Whatever he wrote in Slack, don't read. Because that's where Arkansas dominated college basketball.
But for
Nolan Richardson?
But they only won one.
But think of that.
I mean, before that, it was UNC and Duke, UNLV. I mean, I guess you could
throw... I'm going to have to look at the list of... Let the guy who actually knows college basketball look at this.
I mean, you got an 85 Villanova. That's the one you're talking about.
I did mention that.
Yep. Georgetown was prior
Texas
to
Texas Western.
Obviously.
Wait a second. Without even looking, Texas Western. When it was the all-black team versus the all-white team. Pat Riley's team, Kentucky, was beaten by Coach Haskins's all-black team.
What year was that? I don't think that was the NCAA tournament.
It was the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Haskins. 1961, I'm saying. I could be off by a couple of years. NCAA basketball.
1963, Loyola.
That's a good one. That might be it now.
Yeah.
That's a great one, actually.
And
Loyola. Loyola in Maryland or Loyola Marymount?
Illinois.
Oh, that's right.
The Ramblers.
Yeah. Sister Jean.
That's right.
That's right. It's Air Jean. North Duke, Carolina, Florida, Cuse, Duke, Michigan State, Kentucky, Zona. Boy, you forget how good Arizona was. We lost Lute Olson, too. He passed away. That Arizona, Miles Simon, Mike Bibby, that team was sick. Bruins, Arkansas, Carolina, Duke a bunch, the Running Rebels, Kansas, Indiana, All Powers, Nova. I you could probably say Marquette. You could probably say Al McGuire's Marquette team in 77.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't part of the Big East then, obviously.
But here's the thing. Yeah, but here's the thing, though, BT.
Yep.
Would you be
surprised? Loyola's the one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Loyola is the one.
That's the one.
Would you be surprised if it happened this year?
Yes. Yeah, let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Big Ten is so far and away better than any conference in America.
That's right.
It is not even close. Like, the Big East is down.
Yep.
But even compared to the ACC, which is usually worthy for any argument in terms of supremacy, the Big Ten smacks the A-10. Now, I mean, they can obviously lose a one-and-done game, but in totality, like, you take the seven or eight best teams of the Big Ten versus the seven or eight best. You're talking about, five – what did I say yesterday? Or two, I think five of – I think it was five of the top seven or eight net rankings were the Big Ten.
Yeah, you did. You mentioned
right?
That.
Right, it was something
day.
Like that, something crazy. So I would be surprised if and listen, I love Villanova. I love Jay Wright. Villanova's 1-2. They're not nearly as good as they've been. Villanova's not winning this year. Nobody else from the Big East is good enough to win the championship. The Pac-12 doesn't get the – I think it's a little better than people think, but to me, the champion's coming out of the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, there's three.
I wouldn't rule out your team because of how well you coached. And
yeah, we're just playing bad as of late.
We've
lost
you.
Three, maybe four in a row, BT.
Is it four in a row?
It might be. Hold on, I'm looking right now, but it's been bad. No,
what
three in a row.
Okay.
Three in a row.
But still,
three in a row.
Three
but
in
it's
row.
Florida State who's good, Duke
terrific.
Who's coming.
Yep.
Obviously, they're playing. We lost by Duke. We lost to Duke by a point.
Virginia, and who was the other one? Who was the third
and
one?
NC State yesterday, or Wednesday, I should say. That was a bad one.
That was not a good one.
That was a bad loss.
All right. Well, good conversation. We shall see. But it seems like, first time in a while, nice contingency plan by the NCAA. Teek and I are both on board with it, and hopefully they don't have to reach for it because that would mean that somebody got hit hard a program. Mm-hmm. But if it does, they've got a good plan, at least a viable plan. There you go. All right, let's get back to the NBA coming up. So, speaking of wide open, the NCAA tournament's wide open. The NBA championship, the race for it, appears to be wide open. Is it as wide open as some people think? Tiki and I get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Kyrie doubling down. Logo talk, we'll get to that. He spoke, and we'll play it. And I want to bring Tiki into that conversation. I obviously had it yesterday. Tiki was off. And I want to throw by Tiki my idea. Let's see what he thinks about that, and we'll get to that as well. Right now we get to the, we don't really use the word parody in the NBA at all. We use it in football, occasionally in baseball, although the Dodgers with their payroll, the Yankees, their payroll, and they've changed things a little bit, their business model, but Yankees still have a pretty high payroll. For years, the Red Sox had a ton of players up there as well. So we don't really say parody too much with baseball. We say it in the NFL. I guess it could be said for hockey. Yeah, you could say it in hockey.
Yeah, definitely hockey.
And we
you
say
get an expansion team getting to the NBA NHL finals a couple of years ago with the Vegas Golden
that
Knights.
That was incredible.
I mean, that's just like that doesn't happen in other sports.
No. the expansion drafts are like depressing.
That's right.
I remember I remember the day that baseball held its expansion draft for the Rockies and the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember listening on the radio, ironically, how nerdy and crazy is that?
It's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I remember hearing the rosters. I don't know. It wasn't local. It wasn't like in New York, and it wasn't serious. I wasn't even around. I don't even know where I was listening to. And I was in the state of New York when I had headphones on, and they were going down the rosters as the player. And I'm like, oh, they're going to be terrible. Oh, that guy's like the fourth outfielder. Oh, God. That guy, catcher, hit 209. Oh, that's your ace? No, you're right. That is rare. The Golden Knights pulled that trick getting there and almost won, and it was riveting. But college basketball certainly could be different this year, as we discussed last segment, and the NBA could be different, as we're about to discuss this segment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, first of all, as a general premise, do you like parity in the NBA?
I do, actually. I mean, you know that I love watching sports because I want to see dynasties. I actually, and even though I'm not necessarily a Patriots fan, I appreciated the success that they had in the NFL for two decades and six championships and created the GOAT and Tom Brady. I appreciated that, and I enjoyed watching it. Okay. But I also like the idea that anyone can win it, right? The Eagles came from nowhere. They beat the Patriots. The Giants the same way, you know, 7 and 11. And in the NBA, I think that that's a great way to want to think about it. However, we know that over the last at least decade, maybe more than that, it's become more of a superstars league. Coaching matters, obviously. I'm never going to dismiss the importance of, you know, the X's and O's and an in-game adjustment or whatever you want to call it by a coach that helps a team win. But ultimately, it's about the best players making the biggest plays at the best at the right moments. And now in the NBA, we seems like we're getting the same teams. At least the best players, maybe on different teams, LeBron,
yep.
always getting there. And yep. I don't know. I like the idea that they could potentially lose, but I don't like the idea that they could potentially lose to another, you know, power team. You know what I mean? So,
oh, okay, I got you.
It's created this. I don't know. It's a manipulation of the process in a sense, but that's what we've come to love and I guess expect in the NBA over the last decade plus.
I mean, it's just not always going to align itself this way. Matter of fact, more times than not, it will not. If you think about the recent winners or the recent Eastern Conference powers, you know, when LeBron's not on the Cavs, you've had, you know, a couple of, obviously the Raptors won a championship. Celtics have been pretty good. Nets mm-hmm. are obviously really good now. You know, Philly's obviously incredibly relevant, great record, and they might make a move, as you and I discussed the other day. But what really sold me on the NBA was, I mean, aside from just the dexterity of the players and the speed and just
you mean
the
when overall, you were younger?
When I was young.
Yep.
The overall vibe of the game, the sneaker game. Like, I just fell in love with the NBA right away. But it was the powers. Like, it was – and we were young watching – you know, Magic's Lakers and Bird Celtics. And it was every year they were – and even, you know, they played multiple times for the championship, obviously. But I remember even, like, Dick Stockton doing games, right, with Tommy Heinsohn.
Nice.
And Tommy passed away. Tommy was one of the great characters of the game. Rest in peace. He was a great one. I remember watching, like, Sunday games. You know, we get ABC Saturday night games with the NBA now. Mm-hmm. And we'll get, you know, get Sunday games too. But back then, you would get, you know, you'd get Lakers, you'd get Dr. J in Philly against the Celtics on a Sunday. Like, you knew that they were fighting to get to the NBA Finals. And I do like that. I do like when there's, you know, like mega powers. I like that. Although, I do like it this year. I don't know if I'd want this every year. And you know what I said about Utah yesterday? Like, I think there's still a bit of a perception, because let's face it, to appreciate how good the Utah Jazz are, you got to work hard to know how good they are. And I don't mean just watching the games. That goes without saying. Seriously, you know, we know that. But even beyond that, like,
what do you mean? Explain.
I'm telling you, like, if you think about all the shows that you and I do and all the other shows that people consume, right? You're talking about LeBron. You're talking about, you know, the A-list topics, right?
Yep.
Dak Prescott.
Yes,
the Cowboy. Okay.
Yeah. The hits.
You don't lead a show with the Utah Jazz. Mm. You just don't. And they've got the best record in the NBA. And they by the way, at one point they were 500.
Yeah.
I think they were 4-4, so they've only lost two games. I mean, they were on a run that is unfathomably impressive, right?
22 of their last 24.
There you go. They were 4-4. Now they're 26-6, I guess it is. And they're incredibly well coached, with a coach who's been there for almost 7 years. So the system and the orientation of that is ingrained in their and embedded in their minds and their basketball souls, you know. But it's Utah, and I love the state. I was there 2 years ago for the whole summer, man versus bear. I love beautiful. I caught a 22.5-inch brown trout in some lake, which was the highlight. First time I ever went fly fishing. I love the state of Utah. It was great, treated me well and my family. But again, you've got to work hard to appreciate the Jazz it's not in your face.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk Embiid, we'll talk Celtics, we'll talk LeBron, we'll talk about Luka Doncic, we'll talk about the Clippers. you got to work to talk about Utah Jazz, but they're the best team in the NBA.
Yeah, they best are. Team. And I think what's interesting, too, and you know, because of the stance that I just was talking about with how the NBA has changed and superstars moving around, when you look at, you know, both conferences, the East and the West right now, the two teams that are sitting up top, the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference and the Utah Jazz in the Western Conference,
yep.
They're mostly built organically. Right, it's mostly we drafted this guy. We had an idea about him. We brought in some, you know, free agency, some accent players, Tobias Harris being one, Seth Curry being another, for the Philadelphia 76ers. But this was Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, part of the process, right, that they drafted. That's why they are where they are, and they've grown together. The Utah Jazz are exactly the same way.
Are they though? Mike Conley wasn't drafted. Well,
Mike Conley's different,
by Bogdanovic.
But Rudy is, Donovan Mitchell. I'm talking about the two best players on the team.
I got you.
You know, because we're talking about you need two stars, right, to win a championship. If you have a third, it's almost foregone, right?
Yeah,
you're going to get there.
And who's their third best? Clarkson or probably Conley at this point.
I'd say Conley.
But both were from other teams. Clarkson played elsewhere, and so did Mike Conley, obviously.
Yeah, you're right. But the two biggest guys, right, the stars, the guys that you wanted to build around, like you're not bringing Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson because, you know, you got a thing going here because we drafted well. It feels like those two teams got it right in the draft, and some of the other teams haven't. I mean, even Toronto, who was the unconventional champion two seasons ago, it was they got lucky in a sense because they traded for the right guy, and it lifted them above the threshold, and they ultimately won a championship. But Brooklyn's all expats, you know, so to speak, on that team. The Clippers, same thing. Paul George and
the Denver Nuggets are organic. Jamal Murray and Joker.
Yeah, but they're
and Porter.
They're an 8 seed right now.
No, but I'm just saying. But they were 2 seed last year.
I hear what you're saying. But yeah, I think that's. My point is there's some hope that the old school way of building a champion could actually happen.
And so
when you ask about, you know, the parity in the league, the reason I'm enjoying it, especially this year, is because it's not like, hey, LeBron, let's go, let's do this thing, man.
Yeah.
And let's go win a championship. It's like, all right, we're going to be smart about how we build. And once we get two stars, hopefully more, but at least two stars that we feel really good about, you know what? Let's spend some money. Let's get Tobias Harris a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Let's go get Mike Conley or Jordan Clarkson, whoever it be, if you're Utah. And so it's parity, but it's like a different model than what we've seen over the last couple of years, where it's all been, you know, superstar laden teams. Now, ultimately, Brooklyn may be the team that, you know, that it gets there, and the Lakers, if AD gets back, it'll be there. But right now, it feels like the model's changed and back a little bit. It's kind of cool.
The NBA Finals participants aren't preordained like they have been in years past.
That's right.
No, I would agree with that. That's a good point. Give me 10 seconds. If you could write it down right now, pick it up in a couple of months, and those are the two finals teams, who do you want? Who do you want to see play for the championship?
I want to see – I mean, it's after all that I just said, I want to see Brooklyn take on the Lakers.
See, I want to see the Nets.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind seeing Philly. They're my consolation. Mm-hmm. The Nets, though, I want to see the Nets against Utah. Because I think if somebody's going to beat the Nets, it's got to be a team that's got great, impeccable chemistry.
Yeah.
And the Utah Jazz have that. Not to mention talent.
And they do, and they have a great defense.
Lakers aren't beating the Nets. Even with Anthony Davis, they're not beating the Nets. I don't think that they are.
You're probably right. But Utah's got a great defense.
They do everything well.
They're unbelievable.
They really are. All right, good stuff. Let's get Axe Update coming up. So, Kyrie with a pretty poignant Instagram post the other night. He was asked about it last night. He doubled down. Teak and I will hit that after Axe Update, which is right now. All right, March Madness, as Teak and I have obviously discussed many times the last couple of weeks, right around the corner this weekend. CBS has two full days of college hoops triple headers. The action begins tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, with a battle in the Big 12. Between the Longhorns and the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. Then on Sunday, three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown. Iowa taking on Ohio State. Iowa trying to bounce back against the Buckeyes after what happened with Michigan last night. Garza, of course, one of the great college players, a rough night. Six college hoops games this weekend beginning tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. All right, so on Wednesday, We saw Kyrie Irving's Instagram post about the logo and what he wrote about it and how he believes it should change. Mm-hmm. Now, then they played a game last night, and he was obviously asked about this. And I was very curious. Not that I thought he would walk it back. You had a strong sense of just the wording of the post. It was all caps, very direct. I would have been stunned if he walked it back at all. Instead, he didn't. He basically did what I thought he would do. He doubled down,
yep.
More assertive. Let's play this, and then obviously Teak and I could get into the discussion. He wasn't here yesterday, so I want to give Teaky a chance to weigh in. I also want to throw something by Teaky that I proposed yesterday. So here's Kyrie last night.
As a Native Black man, as a Native Black king, you know, I think it's part of my responsibility to continue to push our generation, our culture forward. I know it probably was met with some people that love it. I love the idea, and some people that don't like it. But my thing is paying homage to the example that has been set by that man. He was the standard for our generation, and he will continue on. And I want that to be something in history that is changed forever, that our generation was part of that change. You know, if that means that I have to lead that forward and get the conversation going, then great. But, you know, I think he deserves it. I think his family deserves it. I think we deserve it as seeing greatness personified as Mamba. We want to set a standard and a precedent. Like, this is excellence. Kobe Bryant logo. Yes, needs to happen. I don't care what anyone says. Black Kings built the league. It's exactly what I meant. It's exactly where I stand.
Okay. To me, there's two avenues. First of all, the issue of whether or not the NBA needs to explore changing the logo, which for me is absolutely not. But if people believe, as Kyrie does, that you should, I'm certainly going to. I took calls on this yesterday. Yep. I'm obviously going to listen.
Yep.
That the first issue is, should the NBA entertain that? And if you believe that they should, would Kobe be a suitable replacement for, even though it's not quite officially Jerry West? We all know that it's Jerry West. So
agreed.
Go ahead, take it from there. Should the NBA explore this?
I mean, I've never looked at it as a critical issue in the NBA. And I feel like this came up a few years ago, certainly while we were doing our show, so maybe it was even, 7 or 8 years ago, when the logo change was maybe let's do Jordan, right?
Yep.
With his dunk, the iconic logo that we all now see.
The Jumpman logo.
Yep, but now that's a brand on his line of product, so there's no way that would ever be, the NBA logo per se, because you'd be basically advertising Jordan brand every single time you showed the NBA logo. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because with Jerry West, even though we it's not supposed to be him, we all know it's him.
Yep.
It's interesting that the NBA needs to, in some people's minds, and I'm talking Kyrie or others, needs to be identified by a player. Because think about all the other leagues, the NHL, the NFL certainly is nobody. It's just a shield.
Yeah.
And they talk about it in that brand all the time and how that's more important than any player. I wonder, first of all, I don't think they should change it. But if they were going to change it, I think they should go to something that's non-identifiable as a player, right? Because by making a player the guy, or any, mm-hmm. A facsimile of the player, mm-hmm. The guy, it almost puts him in an exalted status that I don't think any player should actually be in. What I mean?
Interesting.
And so it's almost if they're going to change it, they need to go, to the other extreme. Forget a person. Do something that's more meaningful to the game itself as opposed to any individual that ever played or ever will play the game.
That's an interesting point of view. Listen, I find these conversations interesting. And I'm going to bring up Tiger Woods for a second. Like, mm-hmm. Even before the accident, what if the PGA was, thinking about, all right, we need to modernize the logo a little bit and we're going to make it Tiger Woods, whether it's the fist pump or we all know his swing. I would think that would be great.
Yeah.
Now, the problem with that is that, because of his off the course issues, you can't have that representation.
I'm trying to think of who, I don't even know what so they have a person, obviously. I'm just looking it up now. The PGA Tour, not the PGA of America.
No, not the USGA, the PGA Tour.
They've
got a guy. A silhouette.
Silhouette
Don't know who it is. I have no idea. Is it Ben Hogan? I honestly have no idea.
It's clearly a long time ago because the guy's got bell bottoms on.
Sam Snead, bell bottoms.
Yeah, he's got bell bottoms on, so it's clearly old school.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the classic finish. So, I mean, I prefer that. Like, I prefer it not being identifiable. And, in fact, Jerry West, he doesn't even necessarily want to be identified by it. I remember Sam just put this in the
He said it many times, Jerry.
Right? I think if this is his quote. This is Jerry West's quote in 2017. Mm-hmm. I think if I were the NBA, I would be embarrassed about it. I don't like to do anything to call attention to myself. If they would want to change it, I wish they would. In many ways, I wish they would.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a lot of pressure to be that guy.
Because
ultimately,
at this point, it's not just Jerry West.
Only because
pressure if you're playing.
No. I'm talking about, like, it's not even pressure is the wrong word. There's a lot of unnecessary, I don't know, conversation about him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden he's going to get, well, Jordan was better.
I hear you.
You know what
I mean?
What you mean.
It's like the crossfire.
Exactly.
The unintended crossfire.
That's right. You're a target for no reason.
I mean, the thing about Jerry, too, is that, you know, I mean, Elgin Baylor was thought by many to be better on his teammate.
Yeah.
Now, did they not pick Elgin at that point because Elgin's black? Maybe. I can't answer that. I don't know.
Yep.
I'm sure it's a very distinct possibility. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, too, is the monetary aspect. And this is an important part of the equation here because the artist who was commissioned to do this, it's supposed to be, you know, even though it's not loose, I actually saw the photo of Jerry. I mean, it's obviously Jerry West, but the NBA has never acknowledged that it's Jerry West because they would have had to pay him royalties.
Yeah.
So if they went, whether it's Kobe or whomever, they're going to have to now start paying. They're going to lose money. So from a money point of view, it's not happening.
No.
All right? They are not changing the logo, I don't believe, anytime soon. I don't think they need to. I did say this yesterday in the issue of fairness, right?
Yeah.
When the logo was designed, I don't know the exact demographic of the league. I know that it wasn't quite 80-20% African-American to whites right now, as it is now. If I had to take a guess, it was probably a lot closer to 50-50.
Yeah.
Maybe even 55-45, depending upon, well, not exactly, maybe 50-50. I understand if you look at the league, like from Kyrie Irving's point of view, or if I'm a young black player now, I could understand. Like, I really do want to see both sides. Hey, the league's, you know, the league is driven by the black player. It's just undeniable. And anybody who doesn't admit that just isn't seeing the game the way it is, man.
Yeah.
And the style and the culture that long ago permeated the NBA has been driven by the black influence. And does that need to be represented in a silhouette? Again, I don't think it does, but I'm not black, and I'm not. I understand the conversation. I'm not a fan of injecting race into everything. Neither are you. That's why I took a little issue with what Kyrie said.
Yeah.
I came up with, if they were going to change the logo, and by no, I would not do it for the record again. But if I was going to do it, if they felt compelled to have greater representation. You can't do Kobe, and I don't want to even get into it again, but there's an incident with Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do Kobe.
Yep.
You could obviously do MJ. You cannot do Kobe for the reason that...
Well, I mean, some people would say there was an incident with MJ that just nobody knows about.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. But you can't do Kobe for the reasons we all know.
Mm-hmm.
What about Magic and Bird?
Yeah.
Like, you, at that point, you have all-encompassing...
Yeah,
right?
I saw that post yesterday.
The tweet that I put out. All-encompassing... You have East Coast, West Coast. You have black, white. You've got everything in between. They built the league when it was on a respirator in the late 70s when they were drafted out of college in 79. The NBA Finals were tape delayed. I wouldn't change it, but if you want to drop in a silhouette of Bird and Magic, that I could listen to.
Yeah, I'm looking at the history of the logo. In the 50s, it was just...
It looked like a baseball.
I'm looking at the same thing you probably saw. It's like it looks like a baseball. It says National Basketball Association on it, so you know what it's supposed to be. But it's white, right? It's white with red lettering. It looks like a baseball.
It looks like a baseball. It does, the seams.
And then they went to it more like a basketball, and it just says NBA across it. And then they went to the gray basketball, which has NBA down. And then in 1969, it's the Jerry West logo. And you're right. It's exactly Jerry West dribbling.
Course.
I mean, it is what it is. If they're going to change it, and I don't think they need to. If they're going to change it, they need to do something agnostic of a human, and that makes it even not a conversation anymore.
Because
what's it like? What, who does it benefit to have it be somebody else? right? It doesn't benefit really anybody.
No, no. And Kyrie's got an agenda here. He was incredibly tight with Kobe, and mm-hmm. we all respect that. And we all love Kobe, and we miss him from a distance. We loved him, admired him, and certainly miss him, and we always will.
Yeah.
You know, he's talking about his friend and one of his best friends, a mentor, you know, and I respect that. But, you know, what if the wording was flipped, though? What if the wording, what if a white player said what he said, but used different terminology to describe Kings? What would happen?
Yeah, it would be viewed as racist.
It would be viewed as racist.
Yeah.
So why even on if, some
even
level...
If
they,
even if there's truth in it, because of the NBA, when it first started, it was all...
Dr. Naismith was white.
Yeah,
if you want to be literal, it was actually, you know, it was founded by a white guy, for sure. Yeah. But and we all know if a white player said that, and inverted the words
mm-hmm.
to meet the messaging of Kyrie Irving, he might lose. I don't know. He might be out of the NBA, honestly, if he said it like that.
I don't know what Kyrie's point was. I mean, I know it's what he feels.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it has to be a race thing.
I don't know.
I mean, it's obvious that the top players in the NBA, you just look at the MVPs and everything else. They're black.
Oh, yeah.
It is what it is. And so I don't know what he's...
Even Larry Bird said it's a black man's game.
Yeah.
It is. That's what Larry Bird said recently.
Yeah.
He said it, and he's right.
Yeah. I don't know why that needs to be pertinent as it pertains to the logo. And again, if you want, some people will listen to this and say, oh, they're just canceling culture. Like, you're ignoring the obvious. But why create controversy when they're unnecessarily, I think, is the point that I take away when I hear Kyrie say that.
Yeah, but nobody's calling him out for that.
Yeah. I mean,
nobody's really
because he's, I mean, in a sense he's right, but you don't need to say it.
You don't. He could have represented Kobe and illuminated Kobe's impact without injecting race into it.
Yeah.
You know? But we'll see. All right, Texans, don't call them because they're not picking up the phone.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.